Hello, welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm a product manager here at Microsoft in the Windows Phone division. And I'm joined today by program manager Mike Batista. Mike, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure, I'm a program manager and developer platform. For the last several months, I've been working on the Windows Phone 7.5 refresh to get the Phone OS to work on lower cost devices with less memory.
So what does this mean for developers?
For most developers, it shouldn't mean much. The guidance hasn't changed as far as how you build your apps. The two big things to consider going forward with this new refresh is memory requirements in your apps and performance as well.
Okay, but actually, the thing I was going to say in answer to that question, if you don't mind if I take over,
sure,
is that this means tremendous new opportunities for developers is what this means. Because not only are we extending Windows Phone and the great Windows Phone experience to lower cost devices, beautiful lower cost devices, we're also expanding out to a whole range of new countries, like over 20, I think, initially.
New markets, new languages, a lot of opportunity.
In fact, I think we calculated it's up to 60% more addressable target audience.
Yes.
So that's pretty amazing. The thing is that, yes, we are on more affordable hardware, and that meant going with a slightly less expensive processor and a little bit less memory. But we did a lot of work in the operating system to make sure that almost every app works really well.
Exactly.
And a lot of testing, too. I know that you drove a lot of that testing.
Right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you did there?
Sure. So we basically took a large cross-section of the marketplace based on download count, based on APIs used, to get a very large sample space to make sure we had good coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent months manually testing these apps.
Wow. And we also did a lot of work to try to make sure that we covered the most important apps, the apps that are most popular, right?
Yes. Given the new markets, we have a lot of new geographies where we're shipping in. We have top apps in those markets as well. Those were included. So those types of apps, top apps based on downloads throughout all markets, manually tested them. Most of them worked, as you saw from the blogs recently. 95% of the total catalog works.
Wow. Now, how did we achieve that? I mean, what did we do in the operating system?
Yeah, so we tuned the operating system quite a bit. 256 megs is half of what all the devices today have. So getting the OS to fit in that amount of memory was quite a bit of effort.
Mm-hmm.
We also improved paging support in the system to better manage and distribute memory between system services and background processes, as well as the foreground apps.
It's just amazing. Comparing this device to a comparatively priced competitor's device, there's just no comparison. The experience is fluid, it's fast. We've stayed true to all the values that Windows Phone holds dear.
Yes.
You guys did this. What happened to the apps that the 5% that we didn't actually operate as well as we had hoped?
Yep. So we've introduced the capability to opt out of low memory devices if it's either too difficult or if it's not on your radar. We proactively opted out the apps that failed. We've identified why they failed.
And we contacted all the developers too.
Yes, we've contacted all the developers in advance. We've given them guidance as far as what you need to do to fix your issues.
Right, and we have a new SDK update.
New SDK update. And the issues aren't significant. It's just, we're introducing a new class of devices.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously haven't had the capability to test on these before. So as a mitigation to take the effort off the developer community, we tested a whole bunch of apps. We identified the handful that didn't work. We've updated the SDK with the 256 meg emulator. We've given guidance, and we'll have more guidance coming in the near future.
That'll let people simulate the memory condition on these devices so that they can test their apps.
Right. And so for the apps that failed, after giving this guidance, we ultimately opted them out with this new manifest metadata that developers can add to their apps. And going forward, once developers update their apps, they can resubmit and opt back in. But for the time being, we've proactively opted people out to take that burden off the community.
Right. Okay. So, but what other sorts of things, what are the common pitfalls that people run into? I know that, this increases a little bit in a tiny manner the burden on the developer to be cognizant of performance. But, even if this wasn't on the table, performance is always an issue for developers
right.
who are thinking ahead of, what the user experience is.
Right.
So, I guess this just means that we want folks to be even more vigilant about those practices. What sorts of things do you think are the top things people should be thinking about when they think about their application performance?
Sure, I started to mention this earlier, so the guidance hasn't changed, as you mentioned. The biggest consideration going forward is memory. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a certification requirement since the beginning of time that said you shouldn't exceed 90 megabytes in your apps unless you're on a device with more than 256 megs of RAM. So previously, we didn't have devices in the market that had 256 megs of RAM, so it wasn't that significant.
Right.
But now that we have devices that will be coming shortly, it's much more important to consider going forward.
That your application not consume more than 90 megabytes.
Yes. And if the consequences of exceeding 90 megabytes on these devices are, you likely will crash. You know, the system just runs out of memory, and we've actually tuned the device to support apps that work up to 90 with some buffer in case, you know, if you have a spike or something, you know, we have some buffer there. But the guidance has always been and will continue to be going forward to fit within 90 megs. And for apps that are in the marketplace today, most apps do that. There are some, you know, there's some games and other things that take advantage of extra memory, and that's great. But now extra memory needs to be considered optional.
Okay.
Very similar to how front-facing camera is considered today, gyroscope. You know, these optional hardware components that you can take advantage of if they're there, but you shouldn't assume that they're there.
So we've added a new property on device capabilities that allows you to actually detect if your application at runtime is on a 256 megabyte device.
Right, so there's a couple of APIs that were in the system today and that we have going forward. Some about current, you know, how much memory is your app using, current memory usage, peak memory usage, what is the total memory of the device. The new one that we introduced is this work concept of a working set limit. It's not a new concept. In Windows, you have a kind of a max working set size,
right,
which is basically just a policy in the system that, you know, I mentioned we introduced paging. It's just a policy that helps paging know when to kick in and know when it should start managing memory more effectively.
And so we're actually using it ourselves in order to implement this paging mechanism. But you, as a developer, can use this value in order to write a conditional code path that occurs only on a higher memory device.
Right. So this 90 meg pivot is you'll see that as a constant, consistent pattern that pops up in different places. And when this working set limit is less than 90 megabytes, you know that the runtime that you're on is memory constrained. And in this case, because the physical memory is at 256 megabytes.
So this is great because you could write a very richly featured application, and then, you know, in order to target these other applications, these other devices more effectively, you could choose to make some of that functionality and features, some of those things conditional on whether or not you're on a low memory device or not. So a great example would be the transitions in the Silverlight toolkit, because, you know, motion is a very important concept in Metro, and I'm not saying don't use motion. But it does have memory implications. And so if you're using the Silverlight transitions to do a turn-style transition or what have you, you might want to make the use of all those transitions conditional on being on a higher memory device.
Right, that's one example. Another example would be, you know, if you're a weather app and you have a radar map that's really memory intensive, if you have a browser control where you allow users to navigate to any arbitrary website, those things can consume memory.
Right.
So those are some feature reductions you can make based on the memory available on the device. And I just want to, there are actually three recommended ways to use these new memory APIs.
Mm-hmm.
One is you don't use it at all. Ideally, your app will just work the same way on all devices.
Right.
If it within 90 megs, you're conscious of performance, you're conscious of memory.
And you're testing on that 256 emulator.
Yeah, you use the emulator to validate the 256 meg behavior. As devices become available, you can test on those as well. So that's the first case, is you don't need to use it at all. The second case is you could add conditional logic to your app. So, if you have memory-intensive features that you can scale back, you can check the memory limits on the device and
set your own parameter somewhere.
Exactly. Set a parameter, scale down, scale your functionality. And the third kind of more advanced way of using it is if you're really going for performance, or maybe you're using a graphics cache or something, you can actually use this working set limit as kind of a commit limit. So if you, you know, we say 90 megs is the supported limit, and apps will generally work perfectly fine if they fit within 90 megs. But if you really want to go extreme and get top performance, you can even use this new working set limit API to keep your memory footprint even lower.
Okay.
To minimize the impact of paging on the application.
Oh, wow. So I got, because you don't, paging will actually have a performance impact somewhat. I mean,
the definition of paging is you swap things out, and depending on the activity on the system,
right.
You know, so for people that need optimum performance, there's the option of also keeping your footprint even smaller than 90 megs.
Great. So what do we've added some diagnostic utilities recently with the 7.5 release, like the profiler,
right,
that allow you to track memory usage, right?
Right.
If you're not using the graphical profiler in Visual Studio, I highly recommend it. It will give you the ability to actually do memory profiling on your application as you debug it, so you can actually look and see what scenarios impact memory in what manner, so that you could actually find out exactly at what point you're using memory in a way that's going to get you into trouble.
Yeah, so there's the profiler, and there's a great blog post that I'm sure we'll link for people to consume. There are a lot of hidden tips and tricks with the profiler.
Some people recommend doing a diagnostic real-time on the device, too. You can on the screen track memory usage.
There's a profiler, right? There's, with the debugger attached, you get kind of the frame rate counters and things like that. We do have memory APIs available, as I mentioned before, that you can use to profile your app yourself. The combination of those with the 256 meg emulator gives you some pretty powerful tools to tune for these new devices.
The next thing I wanted to talk about was background agents. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Sure. So background agents, generic background agents, so periodic tasks, resource-intensive tasks.
And let's be clear, we're not talking about background audio.
Right, not background audio, not background transfer.
Background audio and transfer are fully supported on these devices.
Yeah, so in order to free up more memory in the foreground on these devices, we've disabled generic background agents, so periodic tasks, resource-intensive tasks.
We should be clear, though. Our guidance has always been that when you use generic background agents, they cannot be central to the core functionality of your app. They need to be like icing on the cake.
Right, they've always been optional, and even today, on today's generation of devices, they can be disabled in two ways. The first way is the user can disable it manually via the settings control panel, and the second way is the system can disable your background agents if the maximum number of supported agents is exceeded.
Mm-hmm.
So that second case is actually it's less common now as we have, you know, the background agents is a new feature, so apps will be coming in the marketplace, but over time that will become even a common case today on today's generation of devices. With the Windows Phone 7.5 refresh and with 256 meg devices, that same code path that the system surfaces to you in that case is a default case.
Got it.
So basically we expose it on these new devices with 256 megs of RAM. When you try to schedule one of these generic background agents, you'll get an exception, invalid operation exception, that indicates that the maximum supported limit on the device is exceeded. In this case, it's zero. But the point is that the exception path is the same, and if you've handled this already for today's devices,
you're fine.
There's no code change required. If you haven't, then supporting this code path will benefit your 256 meg experience as well as your experience.
Right, and so one scenario I know that we've talked about using generic background agents for quite a lot is driving live tiles locally on the device. And so I just want to make it very clear for folks, there are plenty of other ways to drive a live tile experience, most notably push notifications. Now, push notifications does require setting up your own server application somewhere to drive the activity down to the phone using our push notifications service to address the specific phones that have subscribed. So it's a little bit of a more complicated scenario than setting up your own generic background agent just to pull on a periodic basis. Right. But it's still there, and so it's something that you want to consider on these devices is that, you know, if you're running on 256, you may want to subscribe for push notifications instead of using a generic background.
Yes. Another thing I'll recommend, too, is that live tiles and secondary tiles are two different concepts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still take advantage of secondary tiles on these devices. They may not be live. You can get live tiles by using push
notifications. But they might give a user a direct shortcut into a particular...
You know, some of the apps I've written, I've done that. Either on a premium device, the tiles are live. On a low-memory device with generic background agents disabled, you have the option of continuing to support secondary tiles, but
right.
if you can't leverage push notifications, you can still have the value of secondary tiles to give convenient access to deeper experiences in your apps.
Well, this is really exciting. I mean, we're opening up a world of new possibilities, 60% more addressable market. It's huge. And so, we were very concerned about making sure that our users got the best experience possible with our apps. And the same token, we would like you to think about giving users the best possible experience with your apps. And that means tailoring your apps to operate in a real optimized manner on these new devices. The Lumia 610 being the first one that we announced last week at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. So what's the call to action for people? What should they go do?
So for existing apps, if you have great performance today, if you followed the best practices, very little extra work is required. You can boot it in this 256 meg emulator. We have a CTP out now. We'll have a RTM go live set of the tools in the near future.
This month, yes. Yeah.
So think about your existing apps. Again, if you follow best practices today, there should be little effort on you. But you will want to run it in the 256 meg emulator. Make sure you handle the exception path we throw for background agents. Check your performance. Check your condition. If you are concerned about performance aspects or memory aspects of your application, check your conditional behavior in the emulator. For new apps going forward, be very conscious of, mindful of memory usage.
This may affect how you design your application.
That's a very important point because... as you may know, trying to tack on things like security, performance, memory usage, trying to tack that on later after you've architected your app is a difficult thing to do. Building it from the beginning actually makes it a much easier experience. So now that we know that we have these devices coming, we have the certification requirement.
Oh, that's another point we didn't mention. So the certification process is going to change slightly in order to make sure that the 256 meg devices are supported. So, we have a set of certification requirements. We'll link to them on this page. But they are going to be doing testing with the 256 megabyte devices. So, you know, there's still some discussion about how we tweak some of the numeric values, though, like, for example, launch times and so forth. We'll keep you updated on that.
Yeah, the guidance mostly hasn't changed. We have a 5-second guidance. Most people well exceed that.
For launch?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a couple different barriers. 5 seconds is kind of the recommendation. For people that use a splash screen, that's not a concern. The splash screen indicates that your experience
the
is
the first
is
frame
showing.
Of your application.
First frame of your application, right.
Got it.
Just to finish up the point I was making. It's okay. Architecting your app from the beginning to think about performance, think about memory, will make your lives a lot easier. It's a lot harder to tack it on later. And as we talked about certification requirements, there won't be many changes for this new refresh. The one change, given that we have a new class of devices on the market, will be and given that we have the mechanism to opt out, if you don't opt out, we assume that you are intended to work on all devices, regardless of available memory or CPU. So eventually, in the near short term, certification will be updated to, if you don't opt out, test on one of these low memory devices.
Absolutely.
This will catch the obvious failures. It won't happen for some time. We know developers aren't yet thinking about 256 megs. It's a new concept. We just disclosed it recently last week. But ultimately, you need to control your experience and account for these new low-memory devices. Given the new target market, potentially have a lot of customers using your apps on these phones, so you want to make sure that these phones are considered first-class citizens in your developer experience. And if you don't feel like you can meet the requirements of these devices, we do provide the mechanism to opt out. And if you do opt out, you will only be certified on today's generation of devices.
So right, absolutely. One other important note to make, the current release of the update, the 7.1.1 update to the SDK is a preview release. That means it doesn't contain a Go Live license. You can't publish apps that you compile with this current preview. But the final update will be available this month. And so you don't have long to wait. And the preview is there for you to start getting ready now.
Yes.
Anything else to add?
No. Just
okay.
Have fun building for Windows Phone.
That's right. And have fun with 60% more customers.
Yes.
For Windows Phone, for Inside Windows Phone, I'm Larry Lieberman here with Mike Batista. Thanks for your attention. We'll see you next time.